Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. As if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?
Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn your back on your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the noonday, break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the poor and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail.
Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ministered as if you yourself were suffering.
When the sons of man come in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, when I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. When I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me."
Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, inasmuch as you have done these things for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me."
Thank you, friends. Oop, I'm at the wrong microphone. You go over there. There. Good morning. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at Seven Oaks. One of the duties that I get to carry out is that I'm responsible for oversight of our community care ministries. So I, too, am a member of the Community Care Committee. But this morning, I have the particular privilege and pleasure of leading us as we spend just a little bit of time opening up God's Word together. As we've mentioned, the theme of our service this morning is shelter. Now, those of you who have heard me preach before will know that I always maintain that the purpose of Scripture, the reason God has given us Scripture, is that through it, He reveals to us who He is, what He has done and continues and will do for us, and who we are and are supposed to be in relationship with Him. Now, in terms of that first task, which is revealing to us who God is, Scripture uses both metaphors and poetic images to get across the idea of who God is and what His character is like. And one of the most common images that is used throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible, to teach us what God is like is the metaphor of providing shelter or protection or refuge. You see, in the Scripture, God tells us both that it is He who provides us with shelter. So the homes we live in, the roofs over our heads, the food that we eat, those things are provided to us by God. But Scripture also teaches us that God is a shelter. He is a place where we can dwell to have protection and safety and security. This is highlighted, or was highlighted this morning, in the psalm reading that Keith shared with us when he did the call to worship in Psalm 61. I'll read again the couple of verses at the end of the reading that he did, where the psalmist says, "For you, O God, have been our refuge, a strong tower against the foe. We long to dwell in your tent forever, to take refuge in the shelter of your wings." If you go through the Psalms, there are frequent references to God as being a shelter for us, a dwelling place, a refuge for us to dwell in. My favorite psalm is Psalm 16, and it begins, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge." So that's the first primary way in which that image of shelter is used to teach us about who God is. The second major way I think that we see references to shelter in the Scripture and throughout all of Scripture is a much more practical, literal meaning, not metaphorical at all, which is that in the Old Testament, God instructs His people that one of the things that they are to do is to make sure that the poor, the homeless, the wanderer, those who do not have shelter can find shelter in very practical terms. This is one of the things that the prophet Isaiah mentioned in that passage that was read to us this morning by Melissa and Jesse. In essence, it's God speaking to His people, His followers, and for us as Christians, this message is for us. He's speaking to His followers, and He says to them, "Look, do you want to know what kind of spiritual practices I'm looking for from you? Do you want to know what kind of worship I like to see from you? Because if you do, I'll tell you." And then God goes on to list a series of very practical things that He wants His people to do. He wants them to provide clothing to people who need clothing. He wants them to provide food to people who need food. He wants them to visit the sick and care for them. And specifically in that passage, He says, "I want you to provide the poor wanderer with shelter." Now, for all of us as Christians in Canada in the 21st century, sometimes we think, yeah, okay, but this Old Testament stuff, it's pretty old, and how does it actually kind of apply to us? And in this case, we say, what do they mean by poor wanderers? Do we have poor wanderers here in Abbotsford? Well, the answer to that is, of course, we have poor wanderers here in Abbotsford. If you want to see them, go down to Gladys Avenue or go down to the camp at Lonzo Road, and you will see poor wanderers. If you want to see poor wanderers, come by Seven Oaks late at night some night when it's rainy and cold, and you will see people camped out
under the eaves around the outside of our building. You'll see them on the other side of that wall, trying to get just a little bit of shelter from the cold and from the rain. Abbotsford has poor wanderers. And God, in his holy word, in the scripture, in the Bible that we believe in and try to obey, is very clear. He says, provide the poor wanderers with shelter. He wants us to make sure that they have a place where they can stay at night, out of the elements, out of the cold, out of the danger that comes from living on the street. Now, it's nonetheless the case that when it comes to these Old Testament directives, they can seem a little distant from us because there's some cultural context stuff, right? It's pretty easy on this passage in Isaiah where he says, provide a shelter to the wandering stranger. It's easy to say, well, doesn't that have to do with the cultural practices in the Middle East, in ancient times where it was a kind of a nomadic sort of herding society, and your encampment, your tent would be somewhere out in the wilderness, and if somebody came by and needed shelter, you had to provide it to them because, you know, there was nowhere else. Isn't it kind of a specialized cultural practice of the Old Testament that may not be as directly applicable to us? Well, maybe there's some of that in it, but there is also clear instruction in the New Testament that tells us to provide shelter for the wandering stranger. In the passage that Jenny read, the brief passage from Hebrews 13, we hear this. Now, Hebrews is a letter written by God through a human writer, but under the authority and power and direction of the Holy Spirit, giving specific instructions to the followers of Jesus, the people of God, living in the first century in the churches around the eastern end of the Mediterranean. And the writer of Hebrews says very clearly, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Not just don't forget to have some of your friends over for the weekend. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. And these Christians that the author of Hebrews is writing to live in large cosmopolitan cities around the Roman Empire, particularly in Asia Minor. He even goes on, the writer, to say that there's an additional rationale for doing that. He says, for by doing so, by showing hospitality to strangers, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, this is a reference to two or three accounts in the Old Testament where individuals had strangers come to their home, to their tent, to their place of dwelling. They've invited them in, shown them hospitality, and only afterwards discovered that they are, in fact, messengers that God has sent to speak to them. So that's a pretty powerful incentive, but I have to tell you, Jesus goes even farther than that. We have this passage in Matthew 25 that Richard and Kelly read out to us. Now, it's part of a longer passage in Matthew where Jesus, during the last week of his life, is talking to his disciples, and he's giving them an idea of what it's going to look like when he comes again. When Christ returns in glory to call his own people to him, Jesus lays that out for his disciples over a couple of chapters, but he concludes with this story. Now, I say story because it's not quite a parable. It's not quite a metaphor. It's this story about a returning king and some sheep and some goats. Well, you don't have to be a theologian to read that story and to pick up that in the story, the returning king is Jesus himself returning to earth in glory. And the sheep and the goats are you and me. We're the sheep and the goats. And that story that Jesus tells, it's the very last one, it's the one he concludes with as he's explaining to his disciples what his return is going to look like. And it's a sobering lesson. Because what he essentially says is, and this is echoed earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew recounts that Jesus says, look, when I come back to call my own to me, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to be one of mine. I'm not going to recognize them. He says in this passage, how I will know if somebody is truly a follower of mine, if they truly know me, is this. Who fed the hungry? Who clothed those who needed clothing? Who visited the sick? Who housed the homeless? Who provided shelter to those who needed shelter? This is the test that Jesus offers to his disciples in describing who it is that he's going to be coming back for, who he'll know are his own. Now, he uses this interesting device where the king in the story says, I recognize you, you know, you come with me, and he says, I know that you're mine because when I was hungry, you fed me, and when I was naked, you clothed me, and when I was sick, you visited me. And his followers, happy to hear this, but they say, Lord, when did we do that stuff for you? When did we feed you or clothe you or visit you or care for you? And Jesus drops a theological atomic bomb because he says to them, you did that whenever you did it for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. Jesus, directly teaching his disciples about his coming again, says, when you care about and therefore care for those in need, you are caring for and therefore caring about me, your Lord and Savior. It's powerful, powerful stuff. In the King James Version, the wording is very particular. And in fact, as a little special treat for Kelly Rader, I had her read the last passage this morning, and although we were reading largely from the NIV, I did slightly amend it and used a little bit of language from the King James, because in the King James Version, when the king is explaining why he knows that his followers are his followers, he says, inasmuch as you have done these things for the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done them for me. That passage, this passage is why the organization that Kelly leads is called Inasmuch. Because inasmuch as we do this for people who are in need, we do them for Christ himself. Now, the extraordinary thing that Jesus does in this passage, which is an extraordinary thing that he does in his incarnation, is that he flips the narrative from the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, in that passage from Psalm 61, what we're taught is that God offers us a place to dwell inside of him. God offers to be our refuge, our strong tower, our shelter. But in this story, Jesus flips it, and he talks about us, you and me, opening the door and providing hospitality, a place to dwell, offering that to him. And that's not an accidental thing on Jesus' part, because it reflects the much broader message of the gospel itself. And this brings us to the third way in which this idea of dwelling place comes out and is central to the story of Scripture. Because Jesus came through his life and his walking with us and his teaching, through his persecution, his prosecution, his trial, his death, his resurrection, and his charging of his, through these things, he left us with this invitation where he says, open up your hearts and let me come inside and dwell inside of you. And when we open up, when we do ask, when we extend hospitality to Christ, his Spirit does come to dwell in us. God, in Christ, becomes both he in whom we dwell and he who dwells within us. Jesus, of course, sums this up beautifully in the Gospel of John. Towards the end of the Gospel of John, there's an account of the Last Supper, and in that account, Jesus is telling his disciples that once he has gone to be with his Father, he is going to send them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in those chapters at the end of the Gospel of John, he talks about what it's going to look like when the Holy Spirit comes. But in John chapter 14, verse 20, he says this about that. On that day, when I send my Holy Spirit, he said, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask Marilyn to come up and lead us in prayer. But before I do that, I have four pretty quick, simple, straightforward, easy-to-understand applications to share you. Things which I think when we look at these passages from Scripture, we meditate on what they mean, what they mean for us. There are these four things that I think we're called to do. The first of them is, I think, to give thanks. You and I should give thanks for the shelter that we have, for the roofs over our heads, for the homes that we live in, for the places we have to dwell, for the safety and security and comfort that we enjoy. God is the provider of that. And not only that, but those who know him know that he also provides us a shelter from the storms and the sieges of life itself. God provides us with this, and we should be thankful and should express that thanks to him. Number two, going back to our author of the book of Hebrews, we should not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Now, what that specifically looks like in your life or my life, it is going to vary. It's going to be different in each person's circumstances. But I think we're called on, each of us is called on, you're called on to ask God what showing hospitality to strangers looks like in your life, in the context of the blessings that God has given you. Number three, I would like to encourage you, I think everything we've heard today should encourage you to support the organizations and agencies like the five agencies that were represented here today, who do this important kingdom work of providing shelter to those who need it. The Cyrus Center, the 5 and 2 Ministries, Gateway at the Extreme Weather Shelter, Joshua House Inasmuch, other ministries in this city, do as part of God's kingdom and as part of God's church, they do that which we are all called to do in God's name, which is to provide shelter for the wandering stranger. These organizations all need, I will practically say it, they all need your money and your donations of material goods and your giving of your time to serve as volunteers. They all need those things, as do other agencies like them. All of the representatives of those organizations are going to be here after the service. If you have questions, you want to talk to them, find out more about their work and how you can help with it. All of them have websites, and they're easy to find websites, and their easy to find websites have easy to find would you like to donate buttons. So there's a project for you for this afternoon. Look, those are three practical applications. We should give thanks for God's provision of shelter to us, both physical and material and spiritual. We should seek to provide hospitality to the stranger in whatever way God gives us the opportunity to do so and calls on us to do so. We should support the kingdom agencies that are doing this work in Jesus' name and in the name of God's church, Christ's church. And the fourth thing I would say is this. We talked a little bit about the idea that Jesus invites people to open the door to their hearts and invite him to come inside and dwell inside of them. Many of the people in this room have made that invitation and have this blessed indwelling, but some of us don't. If you've never made that invitation, if you've never actually opened the door, if Christ is still a stranger to you, I'd like to encourage you to consider opening that door and inviting him in. And if you want to talk to somebody about what that involves, what that looks like, There's lots of people here who'd be happy to talk to you after the service. Thank you.
Will you stand with me for prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, how thankful we are that you are our shelter, you're our refuge. Thank you for your word that assures us of your presence, your care, your love and concern for us. And thank you, Father, that you care not just for us, but all of those who are around us. And surely, Father, as you walk among the people who frequent the places where these agencies are working every day, every night, surely your heart breaks as you see the need. And Lord, we know you love each one of them just as much as you love us. And sometimes we think maybe we're kind of maybe special and maybe a little above some of the people, the poor wanderers we see. But Father, they were created by you, and you long to see them bring honor and glory to you through their lives too. So Father, bless the leaders, our partners in ministry in this community. Give them the resources, the strength, the courage, the vision, the passion, and Lord, just the encouragement that they need as they carry on their ministry to these people throughout our community, day in and day out. And Father, I pray for cooperation and among civic leaders and the people who are in these agencies, that partnerships can be formed and resources can be used wisely and to your glory. Father, then we think of ourselves. We are so privileged and so blessed, those of us that are in this room. So, Father, by your Spirit, we pray that you will lay upon each one of us exactly how you would have us show hospitality or whatever it is to reach out to those around us. Help us to use our resources to share, our homes to share, our friendships. Lord, speak to each one of us individually, we pray, as to just what you would have us do to respond to your call today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you remain standing for prayer? I'm sorry for the closing song.